Hi, it's Paul Vance with GreatDad.com, and I'm here with our weekly conversation with other dads on totally different subject. And today is interesting to me because I've recently launched a course about finding meaning after 55, and I've got David Buck with me today, who's a time management expert, both in career, after career, and maybe we'll even have some conversations about the philosophy of what time actually is. But welcome, David.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Appreciate it, Paul.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming. You've worked your entire career in time management. You said you were kind of a biz dev guy without sales, like natural sales ability, but you use your ability to really wrestle time to the ground to add value in a different way that maybe somebody else would. Tell me a little bit about how that worked or how you realized you had that skill.
Well, I felt that in entering a sales career, I realized quickly I was never going to be the big charismatic guy. I wasn't going to win the sale on the sheer force of my personality. So I had to figure out, well, what am I going to do to be successful in the sales world? And so I committed myself. I was going to be more prepared than the next person up. So when I was in front of clients, they knew that I had done what I needed to do research-wise and to bring value. And I found as I progressed along in my sales career, that became something that energized me. And as I worked with people underneath me who were definitely more sales savvy than I was, I could really help them by being more productive and to manage their time. Excuse me. And that led me, gosh, about 3.5 years ago to say, you know what? I'm going to step out into this arena of a consultancy and really use what I felt I've learned and help other people apply it, not only in sales, but in whatever avenue in their career. How can they be, if they're more productive with their time, what are the benefits that brings them?
Right. So you've worked with people who are right in the middle of their careers, and then you've got a kind of a sub-niche helping financial planning advisors kind of get a view of how time works and how it affects their clients. And then now you're also talking about time management for retirees and how time management still is important, even though you don't have a clock that you're punching in every day.
Yes, that's correct. That actually was born out of my own personal journey. So 2 years ago or so, my wife and I were in front of our financial advisors doing our semi-annual review. And unbeknownst to me, she asked our team, what if Dave retired today? And they ran the numbers and did their various stress tests and came back and said, you guys are in a position that if you wanted to, Dave could stop working today. Now, I wasn't ready to, didn't want to, but that really kind of hit me in over the head a little bit to say, well, gosh, what if I did retire tomorrow? What am I going to do? So I used the time management techniques I used with my clients in career and put myself through a process that says, hey, what am I going to do with that time? How do I use that time to bring meaning and purpose to my life? And found as I asked others in my age group, they hadn't thought about life after career either.
Right.
And that led me to start the Infinity Lifestyle Design Program because I felt passionate about the fact that if I'm trying to figure it out, there are probably a lot of other people who are.
Well, tell me a little bit about that program because maybe I could steal some components for mine because mine more deals with philosophy and with the kind of the classic ways to find meaning. And it sounds like yours you start with this idea like time is finite. What are you going to do with it? Is that for you? Is that a fundamental part of finding meaning is using that time correct, you know, efficiently or effectively?
Yes, it is. I love though, the fact, Paul, that you emphasize the idea of meaning and purpose because that's the foundation regardless of how you're going to enter what I call a post-career life is, however you're going to define that time, if you don't have a meaning and purpose, it gets really hard to craft that lifestyle strategy. So yeah, so I looked at 6 different areas that became the foundation for how I work with people on their lifestyle strategy. It's what's your career mindset now and what do you think it'll be in the future? What's your retirement mindset, kind of the yin and the yang, the flip of the coin? So how do you feel about retirement? Because many people have a negative connotation of it. And then the third of the mindsets is what's your financial mindset Not that I don't want to know about your finances. That's not my job. But do you believe what you have is, are you too, to kind of like the Goldilocks zone? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? What do you feel about those finances? And then we just look at general time management. What's the difference between life and retirement versus generally life and career? And then we look at your planned activities and your anticipated lifestyle. And that lifestyle really focuses around your social network, because when you leave a career and move into a post-career life, on average, your social network drops by 50%. So you're engaging with much less people than what you normally do if you're in career.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that idea of the time management when you're in career, whether you're your boss or you work in a company and you're kind of, you know, somebody else is doing your schedule, versus being in retirement and suddenly not having to, you know, be at a desk at 8 o'clock or work the weekend or whatever it is. How have you learned to kind of understand those two sides, or how to move from one side to the other? Because I know you hear a lot about people who wake up on the first day of retirement, fantastic, great. And then second day is like, oh, what the hell do I, you know, what do I do?
Right. Yes. You know, there's an adage in retirement that the first day of retirement, you actually wake up to see the sunrise, because it's this new part of, and then the second day it's like, I'm not waking up for the sunrise. I'm staying in bed. So, right. And that can be type of philosophy. So in career, think of it this way. If you work, let's say you're a busy professional, successful professional, and you like working 50 hours a week, that's over 30% of your time is spent in your career. So imagine then one day you choose to walk away, you now have 30%, or let's just say 25% of your time you have to fill. And you can make that time be very enriching and purposeful, or it can be what I call a time vacuum. It just sucks the life out of you.
Yeah.
And so it's all about, for me, working with people in career, it's like, how do you make that 25% more productive so you have more personal time? And then when you're in post-career, how do you make that 25 to 30% be more meaningful and purposeful, filling it with activities that bring you value and substance, which may or may not mean work. So retirement to me doesn't necessarily mean you have to stop work. It's just providing yourself with more flexibility if you choose to have work in there.
Yeah. So let's talk about why do this in the first place? You and I probably have come to conclusions about this, but why not just sleep till 10 and, you know, drink beers in the evening until, you know, 1 in the morning, watching old movies and reliving the good old days and just enjoy the time, enjoy not having all those demands on you. Why not just, you know, kick back?
So there definitely is a kickback element into it in retirement if you want that. I'm not saying you have to replace the energy level that you had in your career. That's a one-to-one ratio, that the time used, every second that you spend in retirement has to be as intense as it is in career. The challenge that you run into, and I live in what I call a laboratory. I live actually in a 55-plus community. I'm 59, and I get to see both sides of retirement. I get to see the wonderful side of retirement of people who are extremely busy, have a bunch of stuff going on. They walk around with a smile on their face. They tell you all the things that they do. But then I also see the negative side of retirement. I actually have next door neighbors two doors down. I consider her socially isolated. I don't see her hardly at all. Matter of fact, I look and watch the garbage cans to see if the garbage cans are out frequently. So she has chosen to self-isolate, and that's detrimental. That leads to depression, substance abuse, and that's pretty significant among seniors, particularly those who don't plan well.
Yeah.
And it just, your world gets so small. So there's a choice you can go either way, and that's where I choose, find flexibility in your post-career life that you can then test and try all these great new things.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I mean, there are certainly days where I have a temptation to stay in bed and read books or whatever. But the, you know, just the overwhelming data is that we're going to live longer, and the quality of life now in the last parts of your life. I mean, this, when I'm talking about large part, is that this last hopefully 30, 40 years that you're going to live is really contingent upon how active you stay physically and mentally. And like anything else, it calcifies. And the downside of not doing anything is just living out 30 years as a kind of a vegetable from what I've recognized myself.
You bring up a really good point about longevity is that that's a component. One of the first things I ask people to do is to calculate their own longevity. And I've had people say, gosh, that's kind of morbid, Dave, but it's meant to show you the amount of time you're going to spend in retirement, because on average right now, people who've taken my assessment, they're going to say, gosh, I'm 23, 24 years in retirement. There's a lot that can happen in that particular time frame. And so if you don't start to think about how is my life going to change in that time frame, there's going to be physical and probably some mental cognitive decline that'll occur. So how do I adjust my life as that happens to maintain the meaning and the purpose? And so I still have something to get up to wake up for that inspires me.
Yeah, you can't emphasize enough that, you know, I think the lifespan now for men is maybe it's 77 now, I think. But that's averaged among babies who die in infancy and, you know, all kinds of horrible things that happen to people along the way. And for people who have reached our age, you know, our lifespan is not going to be 78, you know, God willing, but significantly higher than that. So we do have a long time. So like, what are you going to do with it? So do you dig into how people define what those activities are and what they want to do? Or do they come up with them themselves and then now say, how do I do more of that during the day based on your techniques?
Thank you for that. It's a balance of both. I am not going to be there to say, follow these steps and I will deliver you a lifestyle strategy that you're just going to go out and,
yeah,
because it's an iterative process. It's a give and take. I need to be there to listen as much. But the outline of the basis is the first and foremost I ask people to do is develop your purpose statement. And I align that with what a company's mission or vision statement is. For example, Nike's is just do it. And so I encourage people, it's a one or two sentence thing that just says, this is what is going to define that. And then from that, I encourage the development of a goal strategy. First one is a bucket or a vision list. So you just throw anything out there. I don't care how crazy it is. I mean, you look at William Shatner went into space in his 90s. Yeah. So think of all kinds of fun stuff that you want to do that you may or may not get to. You don't put a time frame around it, but you put it up there for that. That becomes your bucket or vision list. Then you do what I call long-term goals. Those are 1 to 3 years. Usually you draw from the bucket list and decide, am I going to put structure and scale behind that to see if I want to do that or not? So then that you work on those. Then you have annual goals, and that's usually drawn from the long-term goals that says, I'm going to do this in this calendar year. I'm committed to it. I've got the resources. I've done any training that maybe needs to do with that. So that becomes annual goals. And then short-term goals are neat things that happen between 3 to 6 months that pop into your life and say, I'm going to invest the time to make those happen. And so between all of those, it becomes a cycle that you continuously work on as you go through retirement life that brings new and interesting things into your activities in life.
Yeah, I like the idea of like trying to write down your purpose. Obviously, in coaching, we do a lot of discussion of, you know, trying to figure out what your why is. Do personal values play a part in that orientation? Have you worked very much with that part of the equation?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the components that I ask people to do in setting up a vision statement is lay out your personal values. Also, lay out your ethics. Like, what are your go-to things that you'll do, but what also won't you do? Because that gets intertwined with your values. Mm-hmm. And then I also ask people, usually go outside of yourself, but what are your strengths? what are the things you bring to the table? And I actually encourage them to go around friends, family, and things like that. Because a lot of times people have a difficulty saying, well, I'm not good at anything. I don't know what. And they find when they go ask that and it comes back, there's a lot of things that they realize that they're good at that they hadn't thought of that then gets to be integrated into that goal planning strategy that they'll put for their life.
Yeah. And I find just it's just key to also to have all that in mind and try to juxtapose that with what you did in your career, because you may have been super successful in your career and not fully, you know, not fully at your best, not living your real life or purpose or your values. And retirement is the time, or, you know, post 55, whatever age group we're talking about, is the time to start saying, who am I? What do I want? What, you know, what is meaningful to me versus what did my boss want? Or what did I have to do to, you know, put food on the table or whatever? Is that, have you seen very much of a conflict, or not a conflict, but I guess an evolution of people's values and meaning statements as they ponder this change?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that actually happened to me in the course of trying to figure this out. So I've got two sons who live entirely different lives in their 20s than I did in my 20s. And as I began to research this life I was supposed to be leading in retirement, I got challenged by them, particularly as I asked them about the lives they live, because they are very much of, they set a goal, and if they want to do something, like my youngest hiked the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, that's not even something I would have thought about in my 20s. And so they challenged me back to say, Dad, you got to think differently about what you want to accomplish, because your boomer mindset is just not going to be creative enough for you to think things differently. So they inspired me. And so I encourage clients, like if someone says, well, I'm in my 40s, I'll see you later. I'm like, no, it's worth it for you to go through the exercise now, because I do work with people in the 50s and they're like, wow, this is a really cool thing I'm coming up with. And eventually the question to me says, well, are you financially viable? Yeah. Why wait then if you've got this? So we can get stuck in career mindsets and career stereotypes about I've got to work, I've got to work so many hours, I've got to save so much, and all that's important. But at the same time, you can start looking at flexibility in your life probably earlier than you think if you've done a good job of saving and investing over the course of your career.
And that's obviously a totally different subject. What have you learned, or what have you seen in terms of couples where there is an age difference? And, you know, one person is older enough that it makes a difference in terms of how they're viewing time, retirement, change of career, change of venue, change of life situation.
So I'm glad you mentioned couples, because one of the things I encourage everyone to go through in their lifestyle planning is do it as a couple, because I run into, forgive my French here, but there are some old hell moments that people have when they work together as couples. Oh, an example I used is a husband declared in a session that, hey, I think I'm going to retire at 75. And the wife's head whiplashed around basically and said, oh, hell no, you're not. Let's talk about this. And so couples, it's important you work together in that particular standpoint. But the other avenue behind that is, particularly as you talk about the differences in ages, is there are goals you're going to do together and there are goals you're going to do alone. And so particularly the age difference, a lot of times what happens, and this is statistics and data, normally women retire in a couple situation sooner than men do. So women get set up well in a post-career life, and then the man comes home, they start spending all this time together and they struggle. Yeah. And so that's where the lifestyle planning purpose should be done together, regardless of the age difference. And the spouse that's retiring first, the spouse that's retiring later needs to pay close attention to how they live their life, because it's almost akin to military families. When the military spouse comes home, the family has to refigure out that dynamic. And the same thing will happen is when the older person retires and comes home, they basically have to figure out life together a lot because they're spending that much more time together.
Yeah. I don't even know what the question is that I need to ask about that, because it is such a challenge. I mean, you hear about this all the time. It's like whichever spouse has been at home and the other one suddenly is there all day long. It's like, what the hell? You know, I had this whole thing figured out and now you're in the picture too. And what do I do? But I like the idea that you're saying that, like, think about it as a couple and think about it as an individual, because you're definitely in a marriage or in a partnership, you're going to definitely have some things that are important to you. And that's where we, you know, that's what the strength of a relationship is, that you do your things on your own and then you come together and, you know, you keep on growing both apart and separately at the same time. I don't have a question in there, but.
Well, and typically a lot of times what happens is the person who comes off the career second into post-career life wants to manage the household like they did in their career.
Mm, yeah.
And that creates a lot of angst and challenges for the one who's been in. And so I also encourage clients to also take what I call a retirement gap year. In essence, it's like a college student does in between, say, high school to college or their bachelor's to master's, is just go into retirement then and give yourself some grace to try to figure it out. Be committed to develop that lifestyle strategy, but it doesn't necessarily mean you go into day one with a plan, but you're committed to developing a plan. So you've got time to figure out the nuances of life, of what is it like to sleep if I want till 10 o'clock in the morning? How does that dynamic work? And that takes the pressure off of maybe having to have something done day one as you head into retirement life.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of people struggling with the idea of being lazy, of, you know, finding themselves in a coffee shop, having a coffee in the middle of the afternoon and worried that somebody's going to see them and then judge them for being not as productive? Or the one I get sometimes that really kind of makes me bristle is I'm in a social environment with my wife, who is younger than I am, and her friends are more in their late 50s, and they'll look at me and, I don't know, based on my gray beard or absence of hair, they'll say something like, so you're retired now, right? And I'll be like, I'm not retired. I'm doing something different. I don't work for a big company. I don't have the same demands you do on a weekly basis, but I don't consider myself in any way, shape, or form retired. It's a challenge, I think, when you have all that freedom to then give yourself value for what you're doing and grace when you don't want to do it because you do have freedom, but then stay on some sort of meaningful path. It's a very complex dynamic, because for the first time in your life, the world isn't imposing its regulations on you and you're imposing them on yourself, but you're certainly not immune from social criticism and the social framework of what we're, you know, supposed to be doing at any one time.
That's great. Great way of putting it. And it is extremely complex. I have found, and I went through this and sometimes still do, that as my own business owner, but trying to seek flexibility, I am trying to live the life I'm pushing my clients to also live. So I'm on this journey together, but I still have what I call work memory or career memory in there, where last Friday it was 4:45 and I'm sitting there going, okay, I've got 15 more minutes to work. And I'm like, stop. If you're at a stopping point, you can stop. Yeah. And so you're going to struggle. So many people struggle because they tie back that work memory to say, well, it's 1 o'clock. I'm done with lunch now. No, you don't have to be done with lunch now. You can continue to fellowship or set things up. So you have to untrain yourself with that. And I know when people, once they figure it out, so I have talked with, there aren't clients, but I've talked with people as I try to understand this dynamic, who late 70s and early 80s tried to set up just some interviews with them to try to understand post-career life, to help clients like me in my 50s and 60s figure it out. And I found that those people in their 70s and 80s, they have a very set routine. And as a matter of fact, it was extremely hard to set the interviews up. I'm like, you guys are retired. Sorry, Dave. I have this planned on this particular day. I'm doing this. I am chairman of the pickleboard committee. So I got to do the tournaments here. So what we would look at in our lives as very mundane things, particularly if you're in a career, to them, they have defined purposes around things. I have one couple, they mentor younger couples, and they're very committed to it. Like I said, I had another couple I interviewed. He's hugely into pickleball, and he runs basically in his community, he runs it. Well, that's his purpose. Now he's in he's getting to be, I think he's 72. And so he's like, I know I only have so much time activity-wise to do this where I'm not going to be able to do it as often as I am. So he says, I'm living and loving it. So you can find as you move on, what you do might not seem very productive or like amazingly have a lot of notoriety around it, but it can be really important for you in your life at that particular time frame.
Yeah, I think there's something in there that's really important to state is that as we get older, you know, whether we were a CEO or, you know, ran some other company independently or whatever, is that as you age later on, you know, into your 90s, the most important thing for finding meaning is being of use, of being still valued and being productive. And it's hard to imagine, but like your pickleball example, I don't know the gentleman what in his prior career, but he may be using skills of managing thousands of people, and now he's taking it down to a pickleball level. But the thrill for him probably is still that people look to him and he has some management skills and he's of value and people are looking to him rather than, you know, the guy in the corner sitting on the bench looking at his shoes.
Absolutely. And to bring back longevity, and when you had talked about the 90s is going to be much more common for all of us, particularly as technology increases. And you mentioned earlier, like the average male in the United States is at 77 years of age. I think that's CDC data. But there's what's called a healthy index of longevity. That's well into its 80s right now. So if you do any type of personal care and you're structured about it and that's important to you, that 77 is more 87 right now, soon to be 97 and above. And so what are you going to do with that time that you have? Smaller things you can invest of yourself, and it can be very important and bring a lot of meaning and value to people.
Yeah, it's important that if you're 40, you probably tuned out of this a long time ago, but if you're in your early 50s and thinking about this, it's not too early to think about the fact that you probably got 40 plus years to go rather than, you know, you're in your mind, oh, you know, I'll be dead at 70.
Correct. Correct.
Just winding up here, I want to make sure that we have people get to where they can find more information on you, because you not only do you have time management for people in career, but also now you start developing resources for people post-retirement. So they can go to infinitylifestyledesign.com, and then there's a free tool, time management analysis. So at the end of that URL /TMA, and then you have one retirement time analysis. What does the retirement and time analysis help them do versus the regular time analysis?
So sure. And if you just go to infinitylifestyledesign.com, you'll find both links very quickly to take either assessment. So the retirement time analysis, again, is that focus on a post-career mindset. So it gets you to think, and it puts you through a series of scenarios you need to answer that are really focused on that post-career aspect. And people, when they take it, they're actually a little surprised at how much they hadn't thought about it. So it's really geared towards, as I mentioned earlier, in those six categories of time management, in retirement, a career mindset, financial mindset, retirement mindset, planned activities, and anticipated lifestyle. And through that, it gives them a snapshot and it evaluates and gives you a designation. I try to tell people, don't look at that as a grade of your life, because I've challenged you, the assessment challenges you to think differently than you are right now. And then from that, you can build on how do I craft a lifestyle strategy from that.
Yeah. And I imagine those tools are then going to be woven into your book that's coming out in April. Yeah. So you've got a book.
Yes. The Time Optimized Life, thank you, is going to be focused on the predominantly just general time management using the other assessment, the time management analysis. I actually am in the course of writing the second book, which is going to be the Time Optimized Post-Career Life, which will take the retirement time analysis piece and weave that into it. But we all, even those in retirement, whatever your age is, we all can manage our time better. And so my hope is that I want to take this philosophy of time management, which can be reactive, and change it to time optimization, which lets you proactively go out there and try to improve your productivity and time management.
Right. Great. Well, it's really been very interesting, very, very helpful in my discussions. I think I'm going to add a module on the guilt and the shame associated with not doing things the way you used to, because I think that's a really, it'll be a very great topic to go over. You can find more about my course, if you're interested, at greatdad.com/meaning. And we're starting a new cohort in early part of the year. So that's something on offer. But David, I'm really pleased to have you talk about this. It's really an important conversation to have. And any new perspectives on finding meaning, I think, are immensely important, because this is a time period that we didn't have a generation ago. And most of us grew up against so many other things. We have role models that date from the 19th century. And we have not yet kind of all had a collective awareness of what it means. We're all writing the playbook as we go along. And I think the only thing we can get through it is to work together and ask ourselves the questions and try to understand it better.
Yes, yeah, so well stated. Paul, thank you for letting me be a part of your podcast. It's been really enjoyable. And at least for me, I know I've had a good time because the time has actually flown by. So thank you.
Good. Okay. Paul Banz with greatdad.com. You can find my course on gratitude, which we offer for 50% off. You can go to greatdad.com/gratitude and enter the code podcast50 if you want to take advantage of that. I think gratitude is one of the greatest medicines for finding something resembling happiness in any part of life, and especially in older age where, you know, for the first time in your life, you really have the time to look out at the sky and count the clouds and enjoy what we've all given. Okay, so take care until next time. Stay close to your family, most important asset you have, and you don't want to be one of those guys who regrets not having spent all that time with your family at the end of your life, and stay with it. Okay, bye.